Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. On this week's episode, we talk about the best of this week's pop culture news, including Loki starring in the King Kong prequel, Judd Apatow is returning to television, we discuss the week in metal, and someone killed Neo's dog in this week's trailer talk. With me, as always, is two people that have been rather annoying today, Lucas Jones.
Listen, man, I fed you. You have no excuse.
You fed me pizza bagels.
Pizza rolls. Sorry. I fed you pizza rolls and half of Ryan's chicken breast.
All right. And you just mentioned him, Ryan DeMarco.
I want my chicken back.
Apparently, Liam Neeson is on the podcast today, but we have a lot of stuff to cover. I mean, I want to punch both of you in the head at this point, but Lucas, tell me what beer we are drinking now that's saving me.
We are drinking a Oktoberfest from Brooklyn.
Wait a minute. We are drinking an October beer already?
Well, we are. It's called Brooklyn Oktoberfest, and the reason we're drinking it already is because of a disturbing trend that I've been noticing in craft beer over the last few years, is that beers are coming out many, many months before their season is actually here. So you get, like, pumpkin beers in August. You're going to start getting, like, oak-barreled stouts in, like, the beginning of November, and you'll probably start getting, like, St. Paddy's Day stouts in, like, February. It's annoying, to say the least.
We've been seeing pumpkin beers in August.
Right.
That was rough.
And the thing that's unfortunate about that is that by the time you actually get to the season in which you'd normally enjoy a beer like that, they're already sold out. But I digress. I mean, the weather's cold enough for an Oktoberfest now. It's starting to get chilly a little early. So we soldier on. It's going to be tough to drink this beer.
Someone's got to do it.
So,
might as well be us.
Brooklyn Brewery was nice enough to put a little story on their webpage. When Crown Prince Ludwig of Bavaria wanted to celebrate his wedding engagement in 1810, he did what any good prince would do. He threw a beer festival. Both the festival and the beer served there became known as Oktoberfest. Made from the finest German malt and hops, Brooklyn Oktoberfest is true to the original style, full-bodied and malty with a bready aroma and a light, brisk hop bitterness. Never in my life has a description been so accurate that I have read. A lot of times you see these beers and they talk a big game and they got nothing to back it up, but this is just, it's just amazing. It's a Marzen Oktoberfest style beer. It's brewed with Bavarian heirloom Munich malts and Pilsner malts. It's got an ABV of 5.5% and 25 IBUs, so not a very bitter beer. Oktoberfest tend to focus more on the malts rather than beer. I mean, rather than hops. 175 calories, so you don't really have to worry all that much. Food pairings. Any German food, really. Anything that's remotely German. Even things that aren't German. You can pretty much drink this beer with anything. I think, because of the malts with that breadiness, that, like, kind of dry, almost biscuity kind of a flavor. It's got a nice little bit of spice, nice little bit of malt. It's really such a balanced beer. I wish it was, instead of called an Oktoberfest, it was called an all-year fest.
A year fest.
Yeah, year. A forever fest.
Forever fest.
Al, since you're actually with us in the room drinking the same beer that we are today, which is amazing, quite frankly, why don't you give us your take?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. You guys have been annoying me all day because we've been trying to get this podcast going for a couple hours now, and we've just been putting it off, BSing, fiddling with the audio, all that kind of stuff. And, of course, it's the episode where I'm actually back, and we're actually in the same room together. Me and Ryan picked out this beer. We had our mind set on something else, but it wasn't actually at the liquor store we were looking for. And, I said it's either between, you know, we're going to have to do an October or pumpkin beer. And I know if I get the pumpkin chandy, Lucas is going to strangle me. So right. That's why we're going to do that next episode. But, I love Brooklyn Brewery. We've always said that Brooklyn is just kind of like that go-to beer. It's great that it's popping up in a lot of places. It's not just, you know, local bars. It's chain restaurants, too. Everyone really carries Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I've never really gotten to Oktoberfest beers, mainly because there's so many of them out there. Every brewery has their own, and so it's kind of hard to decide on which one. And I'm glad we chose Brooklyn. It's a great brewery. The beer itself, I'm just taking another sip because this is our second one. I'm a little lit right now.
We've had one beer.
He only had half a beer.
I smelled the beer and I got drunk. It's just really smooth. It's just, yeah. I mean, for a dark beer, for, you know, a very, you know, winter beer, October beer, it's smooth. You get hit with all the malt, and it's just, you know, no words can express.
Well,
how
put.
How good. I'm just saying that this, it's just a solid beer. Like, there's no complaints, honestly.
Just the looks alone kind of really appealed to me with this beer. The dark copper color that it has, the very plain white head that it has, the malt really keeps you coming back for more. It doesn't have a really, not a very strong bitter aftertaste. Not bitter really. Overall, one of the better Oktoberfests that I've had. I've had quite a few now at this point. Lucas, what do you think?
This is definitely one of the better Oktoberfests that I've had as well. I usually try to stay to, like, German brands of Oktoberfest because the Americans have a tendency to make a really bitter Oktoberfest beer, and that's
right,
not what it's
supposed
to
be. Rather stick with the Düsseldorf, right? The Düsseldorf brand.
Hofbräu, Dortmunder would be good ones. Anything with an umlaut in the name is usually a sign of a solid German brand.
Like Unibrew.
But in all honesty, Brooklyn has done a fantastic job with this Oktoberfest. If you're looking for a true to the German style beer, look no further than our own backyard, pretty much, in New York, Brooklyn Brewery. Brooklyn Brewery, incidentally enough, is also going to be at Comic-Con.
Yes, they are making, they made a special beer. Brooklyn Brewery has been a sponsor of New York Comic Con, I believe, since last year, maybe even earlier. But now they've made a special edition beer specifically for Comic Con called the Brooklyn Defender. And they've been doing release parties the last couple weeks. And, you know, they're going to have it at New York Comic Con and I believe at probably the New York Super Week, which is this first ever thing that they're doing this year, where they're going to have a whole week leading up to New York Comic Con of all these different panels and events and stuff. It's almost like a con before the con, so it's going to be really awesome.
Did they do that on the West Coast, too?
No, this is, I mean, is the one who does New York Comic Con. They also do C2E2 and a ton of other Comic Cons, but not San Diego. That's done by a completely different company. So, yeah, I mean, we're really excited to go to Comic-Con for a million reasons, but one of those reasons, and probably Lucas's main reason, is to try this beer from Brooklyn.
Yeah, so Brooklyn Brewery, if you're still listening 8 minutes into this podcast, we'll be sending you an email. I think we'd love to talk to a rep or a brewer if you're going to be at Comic-Con, maybe get a sample of it and have a little conversation with you.
We're going to drink it regardless.
Yeah, but we'd love to also talk to you about it if we're going to drink it. So, yeah, we'll get at you.
Yes, and that leads us into our first bit of news that has no relation to anything we just said. So
why does it lead into it?
Well, we have to lead into it somehow. Because then what would we be, honestly?
We are News Over Brews.
We are News Over Brews. So we got to talk about the news. We talked about the brews, now it's the news time. So the first thing, Ryan brought it to my attention, and so did every single film blog on the internet. Recently they announced a King Kong prequel called Skull Island, and now they've found the star of it, and it's a great pick. It's really one of the first times he's actually starring in a film. I mean, he's starred in a couple indie movies.
Nothing at this level.
Yeah, nothing. This is a blockbuster, you know. I mean, he's been in blockbuster films, but this is the first time he's the starring character, and that's Tom Hiddleston, Loki from Thor and the Avengers. So, Ryan, what do you think? Do you think he has the? Do you think he's attracted the star power now? Does he have it?
Oh, certainly. He definitely, and even in Phase 1 and Phase 2 of the Marvel movies, he was definitely a high point in the movies. A lot of people picked out his performances as being their favorites, and he actually probably turned on a lot of people to Loki, the character itself, who's been around for ages. He's a talented actor, that's for sure, and he appeals to the fans. So it's really a no-brainer to have him start starring in his own movies and kind of seeing how seeing how that appeals to the masses. I think it'll work out very well for him. He's got a very fulfilling career ahead of him. He's a hell of an actor.
Now, what is Skull Island for those who don't know King Kong? Because I've never seen the film. I've never seen any of the King Kong movies, especially the one that was it 2003, Peter Jackson?
2005.
Wow, really? 2005 Peter Jackson film with Jack Black, which is random. But yeah, so if you know, if I'm going into this blind, what is Skull Island?
Are you asking me?
I am.
Skull Island is...
I'm asking the guy behind you.
Oh, okay. Hey, explain it. Skull Island was in the 1933 version and the 2005 version. It pretty much...
Without giving the plot of the film away.
No, I will not. Skull Island pretty much is a mysterious, uncharted island. Well, it's kind of it's charted on a map, I guess, a mysterious map. But it's off the beaten path. Really, not a lot of people know about it, obviously. But it inhabits, for some reason, they never explained it or went into it, which is, you know, exciting for this movie. Prehistoric creatures, dangerous creatures that have never been seen before on any of the lands of Earth in this day and age, in the 20th century when it, you know, debuted. Really, again, there's really not a whole lot of information about Skull Island. They really never go into it. It's just this dangerous, very dangerous prehistoric land that has all these creatures that really man has no... Really, man should not belong there. So, you know, I guess that really leaves the mystery for what the movie could possibly be about.
It's true. And this can be... they're probably going to plan on making this a franchise in itself, because I think that's what Hollywood has been doing lately with, you know... Either resurrecting old films like Godzilla, you know, they started a new franchise with that, and now they're talking about making a prequel for King Kong. So I mean, obviously they're trying to franchise that movie more, and I believe Tom Hiddleston, his character with Loki, I mean, he really just took it over, and he didn't make it like just a boring villain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Luke, you've seen the movies with Loki, and you got to agree. Tom Hiddleston's performance is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, there's been countless Marvel films that's come out in the last couple of years, and some villains are better than others. I mean, we've had great star power. You have Hugo Weaving as Red Skull. You have Christopher Eccleston as the Dark Elf. I forgot his name in Thor 2. But their performances haven't been as memorable as Loki. Because he just takes over the whole role. And then he comes to Comic-Con dressed as Loki
He takes over the panel.
Yeah, takes over the panel and talks to the crowd as Loki, not as Tom Hiddleston. I mean, he's become one of those
fan favorite.
Exactly. And he's become one of the hottest actors in Hollywood right now, you know, up there with like Tom Hardy and Ryan Gosling. You know, he's become one of those not just good-looking guys, because let's face it, he is. But also, he's just he's star power. That's it. And we're definitely looking forward to see, you know, Skull Island, even though I have no interest in the movie, but I just can't wait to see him in the film.
That is a shame, because it could be a very cool movie. Again, we have no information on it. They just abruptly announced it at Comic-Con that they were just making a prequel that kind of nobody asked for. But, you know, at the same time, it's interesting. It's an interesting concept. They have a lot of room to expand. Who knows if King Kong is going to show up? He should. I feel like that, at least, I don't know, a cameo, maybe?
He'll just wave in the background or something.
Hi! You know.
He talks now, too.
He talks.
So that's cool. I didn't know he talked.
You missed that in King Kong 2 with Jeff Bridges. But,
great. So, Lucas, you haven't talked for the last, 10 minutes. Are you going to see this movie?
Odds are, probably not.
Why not?
You don't want to see Lucas, a waving, talking
Kong? Tell our listeners what you just saw for the first time the other day.
I saw a movie.
What did you see?
I saw Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wow, and you've joined the rest of the Earth. That's cool.
It was awesome.
You liked it?
I thoroughly enjoyed myself, both as a fan of Marvel and as a fan of movies and as a fan of Chris Pratt.
And as a fan of music. The music was fantastic.
And as a fan of music, yeah.
That soundtrack
It was just
really,
phenomenal. Really well done. It was, you know what it was? It was a good comic book movie, it was a good science fiction movie, and it was a good movie.
Yes. The triple threat.
Much like Chris Pratt, who acts, sings, and dances quite well.
Yeah.
Handsome bastard.
He really is.
But yeah, so that makes two movies that I've seen. Oh, three movies in the last 6 months.
I'm so proud of you.
The Lego Movie, Expendables 3, and Guardians of the Galaxy.
All great, except Expendables 3.
Shut your face.
I mean, compared to the first two? Yeah, that's right. Take a drink. So Tom Hiddleston, Skull Island. We don't know any more information about that, but we're going to try to keep you filled in when it comes to that time. Hopefully they'll have a more of a cast join him. And, we'll see you from there. Continuing to our next subject, as Lucas tells me to keep going, we're going to go into This Week in Metal.
Yes. So,
unfortunately,
metal continues to rule the world, despite protests from my co-hosts. Unfortunately, this week, I have some grim news. Metallica are releasing new CDs. And while normally that would be cause for celebration, the content of the CDs is what worries me. So, Metallica has updated their site with the following message, and I'm paraphrasing here. We've been extremely proud to offer virtually every show we've done in the past 10 years as a download within days of the show's happening. However, to celebrate 10 years of live Metallica, we're going to make an old-school compact disc. Starting today through the end of the year, every show that we've played in 2014 will be released on CD. Each CD will be priced the very clever price of $19.81. Bonus points if you can understand why $19.81 is a very clever price. Or you can get the box set for $417. Here's my question. Metallica, if you're listening, why? Why would you offer 2014 live concerts as a CD? I mean, they played Metallica by request this year. They let the fans pick. But, I mean, the fans pretty much pick the same songs every set. Why would I want to listen to the same set 27 times? Why not pick some sets from their 2012 tour? Why not pick, you know, Live from France? Why not pick their set from Big Four? Why not throw a couple of the old Binge and Purge sets and remaster them and get them up to today's quality and release them? To me, it doesn't make sense to release 27 shows that are mostly the same, especially if you're going to charge that much for them. And yes, they are releasing them, so you're going to get three shows for $19.81, but still. I mean, they're just too similar to justify that, at least in my opinion. In other news, Metallica, at the end of this article, does say that they are going to be... They're about 90% done with their album. 90% of the record is already written. It just needs to be assembled. So, that's good news. And hopefully the record comes out by its expected date of late 2015, I believe. And if their song Lords of Summer, if you haven't listened to it yet, you really should. Lords of Summer kind of shows you where their headspace is at right now, and they're in a good spot. So I'm looking forward to their newest album, but I can't understand why. Why would you release all these shows on CD and vinyl when you can get better quality just by a digital download? It doesn't make any sense to me. Unless you wanted to go the U2 route and just forcibly add your content to people's iPhones without asking them. Funnily enough, I'm pretty sure most people wouldn't complain about Metallica, even though most people complained about U2, which just goes to show you that Metallica is way better than U2. U2 is far past their prime. They really haven't contributed anything to music in the last, 30 years. And Bono is a self-righteous prick. But I digress. I guess I'll shoot it back to
Adam. All right.
Wow. That was a very... depressing.
And I get censored.
It is depressing, and I hate to have This Week in Metal be depressing, because usually I'm really excited. Like, other stuff happened. Like, Meshuggah released a song off of their new upcoming Blu-ray release, which is really good. Jeff Tate said that he's going to be working on a third Operation Mindcrime album to complete the trilogy.
Isn't that your favorite album, too?
It is. Operation Mindcrime is, like, one of my favorite Queensryche album. So Queensryche wrote the first one and the second one, but Jeff Tate and Queensryche split. The band retains the name, but Jeff Tate retains Mindcrime, much like Roger Waters still has the rights to play The Wall, while Gilmore has the rights to play most of the other Floyd songs. So the fact
because he left Floyd.
Well,
you know. But he wrote The Wall, so
obviously. Well, yeah, but Jeff Tate wrote the majority of
Mindcrime. Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
So I'm looking forward to a third Mindcrime. The second one was okay. It's hard to top the first one, to be completely honest with you. So some other stuff happened that's cool, but this Metallica thing bothered me. I don't know why.
I can see that. I think it bothered you mostly for two reasons. One, it bothered you because of the choice of the shows that they're re-releasing. It's a money-making scheme in itself. And the price. First of all, who is buying any of those albums?
Yeah.
The people that are going to buy it are the people who were there.
Metallica and the people does who not were need there the money at all.
I've already bought it online.
Right. So I bought the show that I went to in 2009.
So why are you going to buy the physical copy of a show that you've already bought online? And why are you going to pay double, maybe even triple the price?
The only thing I can see is buying the vinyl. There's no reason.
And it didn't even say how much the vinyl was.
There is no reason. I mean, I love music, and I will always buy CDs of smaller bands that I see at shows, but there's no reason to buy CDs anymore. There isn't, because the quality on a CD can't match the quality of an uncompressed audio that you can get a digital download. And if, when you get that digital download, you could put it anywhere. You don't have to rip it. You don't have to worry about, like,
you can burn it to a CD.
You can burn it to a CD. You don't have to pay for all the extra shit, the distribution, all the markup, and, you know. CDs are, you know, kind of on the way out.
On the way out.
And I like having
the vinyl physical. Is bigger than it was now than I think CDs are.
Well, because the thing is, I like having the physical CD. Like, I like, you know, my boss where I work is huge into 80s music, and he gives me all these old CDs, and there's something very satisfying about trading. Physically, here, man, listen to this, and handing them something that you just can't get in any other format. But recognize that it's dying. Don't charge $20 for three shows that are basically similar. You know, $10. Do you need the money? Really?
No.
No, you don't. You're Metallica.
I need the money.
You're the only band that's played on all seven continents. You don't need money. You know?
Did they actually play the Antarctica show?
Yeah, they did. They're in the Guinness Book of World Records. They're the real life.
Who was there to watch the show?
Like 100 people.
Jesus.
They're like the real life version of Death Clock.
Yeah. But Death Clock aren't like trying to get money at every chance possible.
Death Clock is also a fictional band.
Exactly. So well, that was the very not depressing, but yeah, it was a little depressing.
A little bit. I mean, I still like Metallica.
This week in depressing metal news, which is technically all metal news. But yeah,
happy metal. I've shown you happy metal.
I know. All right. Well, thank you, Lucas, for I never thanked you for the beer review. Thank you for the beer review and this week in metal. Yay, Lucas. All right, so we're going to go into television news. We'll make this one quick because we don't have really a lot of information about it at this point. But Netflix, I mean, really, we can talk about them every week because they keep doing really cool things. Obviously, they're the geniuses behind this awesome streaming service, and they've created a lot of original programming that's actually rivaled HBO cable, and cable, yeah. And crazy, and, you know, it's insane, like Orange is the New Black and House of Cards and Arrested Development. So one cool thing that they did was they just put The Blacklist on Netflix, and they spent so much money, but it's so worth it because they're going to bring so many more people into the streaming service. That is not even the news that we're talking about, though. We're talking about them getting a great talent in Judd Apatow. And
everybody knows him.
Everyone knows Judd Apatow, director of The 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up.
Funny People,
but also you might know him from his TV stint. He's got a lot of cult shows, which you can probably watch on Netflix, Undeclared and Freaks and Geeks.
So that Fan favorites.
Cult favorite shows. So now he's coming back to television, but not to television. He's coming to Netflix with a new show called Love. And actually he's going to star, and Lucas is going to be a big fan of this, Jillian Jacobs from Community.
Ooh.
Yes. So Britta is going to now Britta Netflix. And I think it's the guy from I Love You, Beth Cooper. I know.
Who apparently looks like me.
Yeah, he does look like you. So the guy who looks like Ryan, and it's not a compliment.
we mean that in the worst possible way.
In the worst possible way. Looks like the guy from I Love You, Beth Cooper. So they're going to be the stars of the film, and he's also going to be, I think, a writer. He's also a writer. I didn't know that. He's going to be a writer on the show as well. There's like a bunch of executive producers that are like really, really, really great talent who've written for all different types of shows. And yeah, this is a small bit of news because we don't have a ton of information about it. Oh, it's going to be released in 2016. So we have a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But I thought it'd be really cool to bring up just because we haven't heard a lot from Judd Apatow because we forgot his fourth film. This is 40.
And he's also working on Trainwreck, too.
Yes, he's working on Trainwreck. That's I think that just wrapped, too. So yeah, that's with, next year. With Amy Schumer, who's probably one of the hottest comedians right now.
There's actually a lot of people in that one, I think.
Yeah. Bill Hader's in it, and his best friend in it is LeBron James. So,
oh,
yeah. All right. So he gets dating advice from LeBron James, playing LeBron James. So that's even better. And apparently he's really funny. So, but yeah, so Judd Apatow, Netflix, that's a great combination. He's already doing it right now with all of his shows are pretty much on Netflix. And I think that this is a smart idea, and hopefully this can be, you know, another Emmy-nominated Netflix show.
Let's hope.
Let's hope. I mean,
here's to hoping.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of complaints that people get from Judd Apatow is his movies are really long. Like, crazy long. Yeah, so it's going to be funny to watch him try to do a half-hour show.
Yeah, but it's going to be a lot of shows. Like, it's not going to be just, like, one two-and-a-half-hour movie. Like,
yeah, it's it's the first season's going to be 12, I think, 10 episodes? Or 10 or 12 episodes, and then they already signed it for 2 seasons. And then the next season's going to be 13, I believe. So
they didn't give any details about what the show is actually about, besides who's in it?
Well, it's pretty much going to be a modern take on modern relationships. And I mean, yeah, we see a lot of those shows on, you know, basic cable, CBS, NBC, Fox. You know, we see a lot of those shows with New Girl and pretty much every show. But, I mean, when you have Judd Apatow, you have Netflix, and you have Jillian Jacobs, who's amazing and everything, I think you got a winning combination, and hopefully we can see...
Yeah, we're going to be getting that that inside comedic genius that kind of Judd Apatow spins on all of his characters. He's got that nice insight. He kind of spins things differently than you would have. You kind of hope. She's beautiful. She's a great actress. Netflix, they're on a hot streak right now. Mm-hmm. Like you said,
look like the guy.
I do look like the guy, so you'll be seeing me on the show. So, you know, really all good things, especially that last part.
Exactly. And you can look for that 2016, sadly, but we'll keep you updated with that as well eventually when it comes out. Hopefully we'll see a trailer eventually when it comes out. Moving on to our last bit of news, and it's not really news. It's trailer talk, and we haven't. Thanks, Lucas. We haven't really done one in a while. I feel like
I'm pretty excited about this one.
We just did one.
We did one, right?
Like last week.
I couldn't recover from that one. The Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas.
Yeah,
that was bad. But Ryan picked this one, and it doesn't look like a winner as well. Ryan, can you tell us about John Wick, the new Keanu Reeves film coming out?
Well, John Wick stars suburban Neo, Keanu Reeves, as an ex-police officer.
We don't know that until...
He's an ex-agent.
We don't know that until a little bit into the trailer, because the beginning of the trailer, it's just him driving around in this really nice car with a little cute dog.
With a little cute dog. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the car's stolen, the dog is killed.
Reek from Game of Thrones is interested in the car for some reason.
It's a nice car.
It's a nice car. They follow him, and at night they go to his house. They beat him, and they punch the dog to death.
Why is the dog so important?
It was the last gift from his dying wife.
Of course, wait.
They took everything from me. That dog was the last gift from my dying wife.
Of course, because when you're dying, you give your husband a dog.
Yes, and when you're Keanu Reeves, you star in literally anything.
Well, okay, so I will just...
Continue.
What was good, what was bad about it?
You didn't continue the plot. You didn't continue the
plot. I just did.
No, so what happened once they kill the dog?
He kills everyone. He kills them.
Because he's, of course, he's Rambo for some reason.
I was just going to say, this is Rambo, but instead of a sandwich, it's the dog. So you remember John Rambo? All he wanted was a sandwich?
I didn't. I never seen Rambo.
I know.
You've never seen Rambo?
I've never seen Rambo.
No, he did not. I picked up your reference, Lucas.
All John Rambo wanted was a sandwich.
Brian Dennehy didn't give it to him.
No, he didn't give it to him. So all Keanu Reeves wanted was a dog that he got from his dying wife. To be honest, it seems like one of those movies that, like, plot happens and then main character kills everyone for an hour and a half. Mm. And what I'm really hoping is that this trend keeps evolving to the point where they no longer try to include a plot. Like, from it's 2 hours from start to finish. No, even Expendables had a plot.
No. No, it didn't. All three of them did not have a plot.
Debatable.
The second film, the villain was named Villain.
Listen, Lane. This movie is going to be a shoot 'em up without a doubt.
Shoot 'em up had a plot. It was a great film.
It's just going to be Keanu Reeves kicking ass and not bothering to take names for a while. Willem Dafoe is in it.
For some reason. Who else is in it? Reek from Game of Thrones.
Right.
Ian McShane, who's in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Literally in everything from
I mean, it's going to be enjoyable. Yeah. But, you know, for me, this is the kind of movie that, like, I'm not going to go see in theaters. I'm going to acquire it through non-legal means and then watch it at home.
Yeah, Lucas, this is the 80s right here. This is a quintessential 80s movie right here.
I know.
I assumed you would like it.
Oh, I'm going to love it, but I'm just not going to pay $12 to see it.
No, it's a guilty pleasure movie.
I'll give you this. The action looks cool, but Keanu Reeves is probably top five least favorite actors for me.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I think he looks good in this movie.
He looks good, but he sounds 50. Like an idiot. He's terrible. He's a terrible actor.
He's got about five
embarrassing lines. The man is 500 lines. Years old.
Yeah.
He's an immortal.
He is an immortal. But literally every line he has ever said has been horrible.
Every line he ever said is, I know Kung Fu, which is with different words in it.
I know Kung Fu.
But the thing is that, like, he's typecast as an action star now, but, like, that's okay.
Is he?
But that's okay, because that's what he does well.
Listen, he made one movie, one good movie in 1999.
He made a few good movies.
He made one.
He made Speed. Speed was good. Matrix was good.
Mm-hmm. Matrix is the only one I've said.
The third Matrix was okay.
The Lake House was good. No, that wasn't good.
That was not good. All right, so I'm sorry. He made Speed. I'm Taller. And he made Matrix.
Matrix was good.
Yeah, the first one out of the franchise. And then since the Matrix, what has he done?
The Lake House?
Lake House. Street Kings. Yeah.
Great. So he made...
47 Ronin.
Yeah, 47 Ronin. What was that vampire movie he was in?
He was in a vampire movie?
Yeah, he was a vampire. Who's Dracula?
All right, let's stop. So, obviously, John Wick, cool action, terrible Keanu Reeves. It's not going to be
a theater. Not terrible Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves.
The necessary Keanu Reeves.
He's typecasted as Keanu Reeves at this point. Right, I think he is himself. So, I think
there's a bomb on this bus.
I think
stay above 50.
I think the movie itself, the action looks cool. The movie's going to be really. It's another Daybreakers. It's another Legion. It's another movie that's just not going to hit your radar. It's another 47 Ronin.
I liked Legion.
You're the only one who liked that movie. The movie's
Legion.
Terrible.
Legion was not good.
Jeez. All right. Look out for John Wick. It's coming in theaters probably eventually. Watch it on video demand. Oh, wait. You have to
pay
for that.
It comes out in a couple months, actually.
Listen, it'll be on Netflix in like 6 months. And don't watch it because it looks terrible.
I disagree. The Lucas Jones review is you should watch this movie when it comes out on Netflix / the internet.
And then hate it. Hate yourself for watching
it. You might like
it. Due to the failure of Expendables 3, we need to revive the action movie.
This movie is not doing it.
Go see John Wick.
Jeez. Wow. The faith that you have in this man who has disappointed you for years.
So that's the news over Bruce pick. Don't see it. See it later. See it now. The choice is yours, apparently.
And that's going to wrap it up for another great episode of News Over Brews. Wow. Another great episode of a podcast that I can't even pronounce. I'm Al Manarino. I'm a little drunk at this point. I'm going to keep drinking.
My name is Lucas Jones, and I've been up since 5 a.m. I am thoroughly exhausted.
And I'm Ryan DeMarco, and I'm going to go follow the white rabbit.
Really? Thanks for listening.